This audio file is created by Panopreneur. You can get it at www.panopreneur.com. For Easter Sunday, first posted April 14, 2008, Psalm 23, The Good Shepherd, Acts 6:1-9, 7:2a, 51-60, Stephen martyred, 1 Peter 2:19-25, following Jesus, John 10:1-10, The Good Shepherd, Psalm paraphrase, those who make the Lord their shepherd will never be in want of any good, necessary thing. The Lord will provide us with green pastures and water which will restore our souls. He will lead us the way of righteousness, doing what is right and good and true in God's judgment, for His name's, His person, character, power and authority's sake. Even though we travel through the valley of spiritual darkness and physical death, we will fear no evil, because His presence, power and protection will go with us. Even though surrounded by our enemies, the Lord will provide lavishly for us and give us feasting and celebration by His presence, in our enemies' view. He will anoint us with His favor, and His generosity will overflow to us. We can be assured that goodness and mercy will accompany us through all the days of our lives and we will dwell in His house for eternity. Acts paraphrase, in the days after the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1-14, when the disciples were rapidly increasing in number, Acts 6:1, the Hellenists, Jews who spoke Greek, or had adopted Greek customs, before conversion to Christianity, complained that the Hellenists' widows among them were being neglected in the daily distribution. The church in Jerusalem had adopted a communal style, sharing their resources among the group. The apostles told the whole group to select 7 individuals who were full of the indwelling Holy Spirit, knowledge of the faith and of the Bible scriptures, and of good reputation, to supervise the daily administration of the church, so that the original apostles, messengers of the gospel, would be able to devote themselves to preaching the gospel and prayer. The group chose 2 with Hebrew names, Stephen and Philip, and 5 with Greek names, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicolaos. These were consecrated by the apostles by prayer and the laying on of hands. The word of God spread and the number of disciples increased rapidly in Jerusalem, and even many of the Jewish priesthood were converted. Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and the grace, favor, and power of the Lord, and did many miracles among the people. But some of the members of the synagogue of freedmen, former Jewish or converted slaves, and foreign Jews or proselytes, converts, from Cyrene, Alexander, Cilicia and Asia argued with Stephen, and brought him before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish religious high court, Acts 6:9-12. Stephen responded to the charges against him before the council. After reviewing the biblical history of the Jews, Stephen charged them with being stiff-necked, proud and stubborn, with uncircumcised hearts and ears, as God's word declares, Exodus 33:3-5, Jeremiah 9:26, Romans 2:29. Stephen charged them with following the behavior and example of their ancestors, persecuting and killing the prophets of God. Their ancestors had killed the prophets who foretold the coming of the Messiah, God's promised Savior and eternal King, and now they had persecuted the Messiah, Jesus, Himself. The Jews had received the word of God by divine messengers, but had not kept it. At this the Jews were enraged, but Stephen told them he was seeing a vision of the glory of God, in heaven, with Jesus at God's right hand. At this they refused to listen any longer, and they grabbed Stephen and dragged him out of the city, and they stoned him to death. Those who participated in the stoning removed their robes and piled them at the feet of Saul of Tarsus, the later Apostle Paul. As they stoned Stephen, Stephen knelt and prayed that the Lord would receive his spirit and also forgive those who were stoning him. Then he died. 1 Peter paraphrase, the Apostle Peter discipled new believers, telling them that they will be rewarded by God if they suffer unjustly in accord with God's word. But we're not going to be rewarded for suffering abuse with patience for doing what is unrighteous and deserving of punishment. But those who do what is right and suffer for it will have God's approval and favor. Christ is our example. He also suffered unjustly for righteousness' sake, and we have been called to follow his example. Jesus was completely sinless, and free from deceit. When he was reviled, he didn't respond with reviling. When suffering, he didn't make threats. Instead, he entrusted his cause to God, the just and righteous judge. Jesus suffered on the cross for our sins, so that we can be able to die to sin and live according to righteousness. He was wounded for our spiritual healing. We were all once like straying sheep, but now we have returned to the shepherd who is able to guard our souls. John paraphrased, Jesus taught in parables, stories of everyday experiences used to illustrate spiritual truth. He said that the kingdom of God is like a sheepfold. Those who enter by any other way than the door are thieves and robbers. The shepherd of the sheep enters by the door, and the doorkeeper knows the shepherd and lets him enter. The sheep know their shepherd's voice, and their shepherd calls his sheep by name and leads them in and out of the fold. They follow their shepherd and he leads them because they know his voice. They will not follow strangers because they do not know the strangers' voices. Jesus told this parable, but the people did not understand what he was saying, so Jesus used another parable. Jesus told them that he is the true door of the sheepfold. Others who have come before Jesus are thieves and robbers. In order to enter the fold and be saved, and to go out and find pasture, the sheep must pass through Jesus. The thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. Jesus has come to give us true life, abundantly, now and eternally. Commentary: God promised in his word to be the shepherd of his people, Jeremiah 31 minutes and 10 seconds. David, the great human shepherd king of Israel, was a prophet who had a close personal knowledge of and fellowship with the Lord, as only a few select individuals had, before the coming of Jesus Christ. David himself foreshadowed the Messiah by the will and purpose of God, and David prophesied the coming of the Good Shepherd, which was fulfilled in Jesus. David is the example of one who made the Lord his shepherd. Only the Lord can provide us with spiritual nurture and protection, spiritual food and water, and the safety provided by the Good Shepherd and the security of God's sheepfold. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who can lead us in the way of righteousness and eternal life, by his teaching, example, and his indwelling Holy Spirit within us. Only Jesus gives the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, John 1:31-34, only to his disciples who trust and obey Jesus, John 14:15-17. The Holy Spirit is the seal and guarantee that one is in Christ and has eternal life, 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:13-14, Romans 8:9-11. 15-16. This world is a wilderness of spiritual darkness and death. Only Jesus can lead us and protect us through it and bring us safely through physical death to eternal life in God's heavenly kingdom. In this world we are surrounded by our spiritual enemies, sin, disobedience of God's word, and eternal, spiritual death, which is the consequence of sin, Romans 6:23. See God's plan of salvation, sidebar, top right. Only the Lord can abundantly bless us in the midst of and inside of our enemies. He is like a generous host, who provides a great feast, an overflowing cup of celebration, and the anointing of us by his favor and the gift of his indwelling Holy Spirit, in the midst of struggle of life in this world. By the gift of his indwelling Holy Spirit we are assured of his presence and favor accompanying us throughout life, and the conviction that beyond physical death we have eternal life in his kingdom in heaven. What God promised by the Old Testament prophets he began to fulfill with the physical coming of his promised Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus' first coming, in human flesh, made it possible for us to be spiritually cleansed by faith in Jesus, whose crucifixion is the only sacrifice acceptable to God for the forgiveness of our sin. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we are able to receive the gift of his indwelling Holy Spirit, through whom we have personal knowledge of and fellowship with the Lord that only a few, like David, had before Jesus' coming. The promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit began to be fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, and since then, the spiritual birthday of every truly, born-again, Christian. The first century church of the New Testament was the example of what the church can and should be, by the guidance and empowerment of the Holy Spirit within its leaders and members. Born again, disciples were fulfilling Jesus' great commission to his disciples to make disciples and teach them to trust and obey all Jesus has taught, as received directly by the original apostles, and recorded in the Bible, Matthew 28:19-20. The gift, anointing, baptism of the indwelling Holy Spirit was the reason that new disciples were increasing so rapidly, and the reason that the teachings and acts of spiritually mature, born-again disciples, like Stephen, revealed evidence of the supernatural power of the Lord within and through them. No wonder that the number of disciples was increasing rapidly and daily. Many even of the religious establishment, who knew God's word well, were being converted. The Hellenists represent Gentile Christians, although preaching the gospel to the Gentiles for the first time didn't happen until later. The first century church illustrated the love for one another through their communal lifestyle, and their attention to the Hellenistic segment of their congregation. The Hellenists felt they were being slighted, so 7 deacons were appointed to resolve the situation. 7 laymen, symbolizing the full number necessary, were appointed to rectify the situation, and to share in the work of ministry, and 5 of 7 were Hellenists. The church was living the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:1-7:29, cf. Matthew 5:40-41. They sought the consecration and empowerment of the Holy Spirit to accomplish their duties. Stephen was a layman, but he had faith, knowledge of the scriptures, and the indwelling Holy Spirit. He was being led and empowered by the indwelling Holy Spirit. He encountered opposition and persecution from the rival religion. Stephen proclaimed the word of God to the Jewish Supreme Court. He said nothing beyond the accurate word of God, but they were offended and enraged by it. They proved to be the descendants of their ancestors who had murdered God's prophets, by murdering God's promised Messiah, and then by murdering Stephen for telling them the truth and convicting them of sin. The gospel of Jesus, proclaimed by their promised Messiah, was not popular with those who considered themselves the chosen people of God. The gospel of Jesus proclaimed by Jesus' disciples wasn't received any better. Stephen was the first of many Christian disciples to be murdered for proclaiming the gospel. But Stephen claimed victory through faith in Jesus and shared in Jesus' resurrection and eternal life. Stephen was the example of suffering unjustly for the word of God. Disciples of Jesus Christ are going to share Jesus' suffering for the gospel. But isn't suffering for righteousness better than even an extravagantly indulgent worldly life, if only to be followed by eternal misery and suffering, separated forever from the source of life and every good thing? Stephen is our example of a disciple living according to the teaching and example of Jesus Christ. He proclaimed God's word without compromise, and he repaid evil with good, praying for his enemies' forgivenesses, and entrusting his cause to the Lord who is the righteous judge. Jesus came to teach us by word and example to trust and obey God's word. Jesus was willing to die physically so that we could live eternally. He suffered for our sins so that we could be forgiven and empowered to resist sin and live in obedience to God's word. He was wounded so that we could be spiritually healed. We have all gone astray from God's will and purpose, and Jesus came to seek and find us and restore us to God who is able to restore, guard and preserve our souls. There aren't many ways to God. There is only one, Jesus Christ. Other ways to God are conceived by mankind, as ways to manipulate God to do our will, instead of learning to know and do God's will. Those who seek and follow other ways are deceived and will be ultimately eternally destroyed. Is Jesus your Lord? Matthew 7:21-23, Luke 6:46. Are you Jesus' disciple? John 8:31. Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? John 14:21. Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed? Acts 19:2. Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands? Matthew 28:18-20. Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity? 1 John 5:11-13, Ephesians 1:13-14.